want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good morning. It's good to be back with you all and to have the honor of being up here and speaking this morning. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to just pray to begin. Oh, actually, I'd like to set my timer to begin. I already set it to 25 minutes. I just have to press the green start button now. Jesus, I thank you that you are with us this morning. I thank you that you've been with us since day one. And I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, sometimes when things aren't going the way that we would want, the way that we envisioned, the way that we had planned, it's easy to think that you are not following through. It's easy to think that you are not being true to your word. But God, for those of us this morning, in recent weeks, recent months, who have been just going through extra challenge, we get an opportunity to see you fulfill a part of your word that we're not the most fond of, but you do promise that we will have trouble in this world, but that we can take heart because you've overcome it. And I thank you that it doesn't just stop there, Jesus, because not only did you say that you have overcome it, so we can take heart, we can have hope, but you also tell us in your word that we are more than conquerors. You also tell us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus, I pray that you would fill us with an understanding this morning that we are not victims, but thankfully we're hanging on by a thread to somebody who overcame, but we are following in your footsteps. We are becoming imitators of Christ, and we too, because of your Spirit indwelling us, we too overcome all things. Thank you so much, Jesus. I pray that you would just use this morning to change our lives, and mine included. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a simple message this morning. I don't have any additional slides other than the one that you see up there, because we're just going to be talking from this one place in the Word, and you know, it actually might, I might branch off into other things. I tend to do that as I talk to other verses come to mind, but really, we're looking at Mark chapter 4, Just a short little snippet, verse 35 through the end of the chapter 41. And this section of scripture has been just heavily on my mind in recent weeks and months and everything for different reasons. And I just feel like I was feeling like this is a piece of scripture that the Lord wanted me to share this morning. And here we go. So verse 35, it says, "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, his disciples, 'Let's go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion." That's comforting, huh? "And they woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?'" So I want to stop there for a moment, because I want to just think about the fact that these people, the disciples who were with Jesus, at least several of them were fishers. At least several of them were familiar with life on the water, were familiar with challenges on the water, and I'm sure this probably wasn't the first storm that they had seen. So for them to be reacting in this way of, "Oh my goodness, teacher, Jesus, don't you care? We are dying." It must have been a pretty big deal. This was no generally peaceful and calm Santa Cruz, California storm. So this was a dangerous, life-threatening situation. And I would imagine, now there's nothing here to indicate this, but because, yes, Jesus is God, and so I'm assuming if he wanted to, he could sleep through anything without knowing what was going on. But because he's also human, I would imagine that he was at least a tiny bit aware that he's in the middle of this storm with water crashing over onto the boat. I mean, it says that. It says that the waves were breaking into the boat. So Jesus must have gotten a little bit wet, at least. Right? He must have noticed, "Oh, the cushion I'm laying on is feeling rather soggy." And I would imagine that as the waves are crashing around, he's noticing the getting tossed. But maybe he was still in that half-awake, half-asleep mode, and maybe he went back to sleep after he cracked open an eye so nobody would know he was awake. He's like, "Oh, yeah, this is a gnarly storm, okay." You know, but I imagine he was somewhat aware. And I find the story so odd. Because Jesus is not afraid to be offensive. His faith and his rest and his utter peace was offensive to the disciples. Because it doesn't just say, "Jesus, help us, we're dying." It says, "Jesus, don't you care, we're dying." To me, that speaks of some offense. And when I was younger, I read this story, and I used to think that Jesus wasn't making any sense, because as it goes on, it says that, so they say, "Don't you care, we're perishing?" And then it says in verse 39, "He awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?'" And this didn't make sense to me, because I would think to myself, well, how are they exhibiting no faith, right? They're in the middle of this storm. Everything's going wrong. They might die. And rather than praying to a different God, they were coming to Jesus. Rather than trying to handle it on their own, they were coming to Jesus. I thought we were supposed to come to Jesus. I thought that's what faith was. But apparently it's not what faith is, because Jesus says, listen, do you still not have any faith? Why are you so afraid? So it seems like, see, this is our normal response. And there's no judgment for us in this. As I preach this morning, I'm preaching to myself. I've been telling my wife many times over these last weeks and months for various reasons, I feel like I have not been in rest. I feel like I have been so just running in my mind all the time. How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to take care of that? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going? All these things. So as I preach this morning, it is to me as well. And our natural way of navigating challenges in our lives, navigating crises in our lives, navigating the things that we don't know whether or not we're actually going to be able to make it through, the natural way is for us to kind of panic. And we go to God and we say, God, I'm so desperate. Where are you? Don't you see what's going on? And there are so many places in Scripture where Jesus meets people in that place of desperation. And it doesn't mean that if we are coming to him desperate, that we're not going to make it through, that he's not going to take our call because we're doing it the wrong way. But I do feel like this passage shows us there's an even better way. There is an opportunity for us to upgrade, to up-level, to graduate or promote in the kingdom. So he says, why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith? This is an offensive question because, of course, I'm afraid, Jesus. We're about to die. How can you ask me that? But what if there's a possibility here for us? I mean... This, of all times in my life, in my history, this is a great opportunity to step up my faith in just how things are in the world. For so long, we haven't been that challenged on a grand scale, and now we are. And I would rather than be one of the desperate members of the body of Christ, I would rather find the narrow road into the Jesus-imitating body of Christ. So, because he says that we should be imitators of him, right? Christian means a little Christ. So, if the disciples are not exhibiting faith in the response to this storm that is so familiar to us, then Jesus must be. And what if we can live like him in the storm? See, rather than be desperate, Jesus is at complete peace and complete rest. And there absolutely is no indication that he's even one little bit worried. And I believe that Jesus gave the disciples an opportunity at the beginning that they missed. They let that one slip through their fingertips. Because at the very beginning of this, he says, let's go across to the other side. See, it's so easy for us to be anchored in our circumstances right? We tether ourselves, if we're using this image of being out on the water, we tether ourselves to a buoy that's going to be going up and down and to and fro and whatever as the storm goes, right? So we're kind of just anchored to however things go. We're anchored to the current political climate. We're anchored to the threat against health. We're anchored to whether I'm going to be able to keep providing for my family or not. We're anchored to whether sales are going to be good from one day to the next. We're anchored to how I feel when I wake up in the morning. We're anchored to how I'm doing in my marriage with my family. And these disciples were anchored to the storm. And the storm came up, their circumstance arose, and it said to them, you're not going to make it. And the moment that they chose to listen to that was the moment that they stepped out of faith. Yeah, they were still coming to Jesus in their desperation, but they had two voices that they could have listened to. One was the storm saying, you're not going to make it, and one was the word of Jesus saying, we're going to go to the other side. And we have this opportunity every time, every single time something arises that says, you're not going to make it. We have this opportunity to choose to anchor ourselves in the word of what the Lord says. So we can look at these challenges that are coming at us. We can look at the threat against our lives and we can say, okay, I don't know how I'm going to navigate the coming weeks or months in light of what's going on. I don't know how I'm going to, for example, make the next paycheck. If you've been running a business and somehow the business has taken a massive hit in recent weeks or months or had to close, I don't know how I'm going to pay our bills. So we can panic, which would be understandable, or we can say, we can take that challenge and we can go dive into the presence of Jesus and say, God, what do you say about this right now? And we can go in there and we can find him say that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And we can find the other words of the Lord that say that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then everything else is going to be added to us. We can look at the disease in our body and say, Lord, I don't know how this is ever going to go. Or we can go into his word and say that, see that he forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. See, I feel like if the disciples had been walking in faith, it could have looked a lot differently. Right? They could have heard the word of Jesus say, okay, let's go to the other side. And they're like, all right, let's do this. We're going to go. And the storm comes up, and it's just as dangerous. It's just as life-threatening as what's actually happening here. But if they're walking in step with Jesus, then they might take a cue from him, and they could look over to the stern of the boat, it says is where he was, and they could be like, oh, Jesus is sleeping. That seems pretty stupid, but that seems irresponsible. That seems very unwise. But it must be supernatural then. So, okay, let me give that a shot. So I could see them going to the stern of the boat. And it doesn't mean they're not afraid. It doesn't mean they're not feeling fear. It doesn't mean this doesn't make sense to them and that this seems kind of dumb and ridiculous. But what if instead of panicking and saying, Jesus, don't you care? What if instead they laid down next to him? Said, okay, I'll give this a try. And I could almost imagine one of them, Peter, let's just pick on Peter because everybody picks on Peter. I could imagine Peter laying down next to Jesus and like reaching out like, Jesus, I'm really afraid right now. But I see what you're doing, and I'm going to choose to act against that feeling of fear, and I'm going to set down all the things that I would normally do that are good and right things to do to try to make it through this storm, and I'm going to go to sleep next to you, because you must know something I don't. One of my favorite preachers, Bill Johnson, said this quote once that has stuck with me. He says that you empower the thing that you fear. You give strength to whatever you are fearing. So if we are acting on our fear, we are acting out of fear, and we're scrambling around our boat to try to make sure we survive, what if we're actually making that thing stronger? But what if what Jesus knows is that if we can, even if we're feeling afraid, even if we're feeling doubt, even if we're feeling discouragement, what if, because we may not be able to flip the switch on those feelings, what if we can choose to lead them by acting different than what our feelings would tell us? And so we lay down in that boat next to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I'm really feeling afraid, but I'm choosing to be here with you instead. And I'm not really sure how to get this storm to go away. And me coming here to be with you feels really irresponsible. But I'm going to choose to put on rest. And I believe for us in our lives, if we're making this practical, what I believe this means, I don't think there's a way of sleeping through a storm that we can get to. I don't believe we can get to this way of life without building a history of communing with Jesus, without spending time being with him in our actual literal day. I believe making a habit of getting into the presence of God on our own, opening his word, praying, being with him, is what plants the seeds into us, is what gets our roots to go deep into us, so that as a storm arises, it somehow gets weirdly and inexplicably easier and easier every time to not fear it. Because before the storm has come, we've put in the work. Because I believe, well, I don't just believe, the Gospels are full of all these different verses that say Jesus would make it a habit to get out on his own, away from everybody else, and be with his Father. His style of life was to get away and be with the Father so that when he came back into the battle, he was just him. He was just at rest. He wasn't swayed by anybody or anything. He was fixed on his mission. And so that's our example, right? Because it's possible, I believe, if Jesus says, listen, the works that I have done, you will do greater works than these. And he said, listen, your faith, my followers, your faith can move a mountain. You can speak to a mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it'll be done. So I believe that if we can establish in ourselves this practice of getting alone to be with Jesus, to be honest about our fears and about the challenges we're facing, and yet to, at the same time, leave them at the door behind us so that we can just be with him? I believe that it's possible for us to enter into such a lifestyle in the kingdom where we can, because Jesus said also, you go and make disciples, you go heal the sick, you go cleanse the lepers. So I believe that we could, the disciples could, operating in the power of the Spirit, stand up in that boat and say, okay, Jesus, well, I'm going to obey what you said and speak out to the storm and say, storm, be still, because the word of God said that we're going to the other side. What if faith involves rest in Jesus and speaking the word and the will of God into our circumstance? And I'm not getting at, like, you know, you say the right thing, so it's all just going to be magically fine. I'm not saying that, well, as long as I say, oh, Matt, you're going to be healed. Matt, you're going to be healed. Matt, be healed. That then that's a magical formula. But what I am saying is that I would rather choose my allegiance in the Lord and his word than my allegiance to my circumstance. And what I am saying is that I think the more that we choose to align ourselves with his word in our lives, the more we get to see every single enemy, every single circumstance bow under the rulership of Jesus. Because Jesus was exhibiting his absolute kingship over even the wind and the waves. The disciples said, oh my goodness, who is this man that even the wind and sea obey him? But if Romans says that we who are in Jesus, we reign in life with him, what if we can stand up in the full backing and endorsement of the Spirit of God and speak to a storm and say, you storm, be still? Because now we're no longer victims. Now we don't just watch while everything goes crashing down around us, and we just hang on, hoping for God to come back. Now we see everything crashing down around us, and we say, not on my watch. Because I am still here for a reason. We say people are suffering and hurting, and we say, I can do something about that. I can go into their life, and I can speak to their storm, and I can say, peace, be still. Because this thing doesn't align with what the word of God says. And then we can see miracles. And we're no longer desperately hanging on, just waiting for God to do a thing, which he does, of course, but we're jumping in with him. We're engaging with him. We're partnering with him. So yes, we go to him and we say, God, would you please? But then we come out of our prayer closet and we say, okay, God, well, I hope you do, because I'm putting myself out there. And if we fall on our faces, at least we go down swinging. And we get back up and we try again. I've prayed for a lot of people to be healed where it didn't happen the first time I prayed for them. And I say, well, could I try one more time? And then it happened. So I'm gonna honor my time. But I am going to, I just want us to take a moment to just reflect on this opportunity for maybe a new level of faith, because there might be even more of the Lord available to us than what we've known. So let's just take a moment to just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you search our hearts? Would you search every part of me and just reveal to me where I am hearing fear and listening to fear more than you.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.